everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is El Gonzalez-Rose, and I am the author of Caught in a Bad Fomance. Today, I am joined by our lovely sophomore musas to talk to us about what the process of book two has been like. I am also joined by some of my fellow debuts who will be introducing themselves.
Hi, my name is Aisha Perez Prado, and I'm a debut musa. My debut picture book is called City Feet, and it came out in January of this year, 2023, and I'm the author illustrator.
And I'm Jackie Moreira. My debut picture book, Abuelo's Flower Shop, is illustrated by Daisy Lino, and it comes out spring 2024 from Beaming Books. And I'm really excited to be here and chat with you all.
Yay, and then we have our sophomores.
Hi, I'm Adriana Hernandez-Bergstrom, and I'm the author of Abuelita and I Make Flan that came out last year, and Tumble that comes out with Scholastic this year, as well as Countdown for Nochebuena, out with Little Brown later this year as well.
And hi, I'm Vanessa Torres, and I'm the author of The Turning Point. It came out on 2/22/22. That was my debut. And then my sophomore book comes out spring of 2025, and it's titled On the Wings of La Noche.
And I'm Johnny Garzavilla. My debut novel was 1500 Miles from the Sun. My second young adult novel is Ander and Santi Were Here, out now. And my third novel out next year is Canto Contigo.
All right. Exciting. Let's get right into it because we have a lot of questions for y'all. As you can imagine, us debuts are pretty confused about what the future holds. So we're hoping y'all can enlighten us a little bit. Let's kick it off with what would you say has been the biggest difference in your experiences with your debut versus your second book? You know, has your approach changed at all in terms of the drafting, the marketing, all of the things like that?
This is Adriana. I think with the, okay, so with the first book, it was like 5-6 years only on that book, like really like honing it in. And the other two that I had, like they came so quickly, so differently. And my editing was just so much faster. My drafting was so much faster. Even my illustrations were faster. The second book is a very, I'm going to say like a younger picture book, and the third one as well. They're both coming out. The third one is coming out as a board book as well. So everything was different. The marketing is the biggest difference though. The biggest difference for me has been that my sole attention was on that first book. And so I didn't realize, of course, when the second book comes out, you're still marketing that first book. So my brain is like, oh no, I'm still trying to market the first one with schools and libraries. And I'm trying to like launch book two, and 3 months later launch book three. So it's been really challenging, and I was not realizing, like my brain just didn't capture that it was going to be that much stuff.
Yeah, I agree. This is Vanessa here. Although I'm nowhere near the marketing phase for book two because I got pushed back so far, and I can talk about how that happened later if y'all want to hear that sordid story. But yeah, book one, I like took my time writing it, and I got it exactly the way that I wanted it and all of that. And I had stars in my eyes and blah, blah, blah. And it came out, and then I had to have a book two, you know, ready because I had a 2-book deal. And that was, really hard to start writing that book when I was launching, like literally launching book one and then starting to write another book. So it was like, my brain was totally divided. And so it's really hard to get my head in the game. And so I'm not really sure what to expect with marketing. I will say marketing book one, I was not assigned a publicist until about a month before my launch. So I was like, you know, kind of totally on my own until then, which happens to a lot of authors. I love my publicist. I think she's still my publicist for book two. I'm not sure because I'm not there yet. I'm still writing the book. And yeah, so I would say that there was a lot of difference just in the time frame that I had to produce, and my mind frame too, my frame of mind.
Yeah, I think for me, like I went into my debut novel not knowing anything about the publishing experience whatsoever. I drafted my debut in 2018 as like the very first book I ever wrote. And like in early 2020, I was signing a contract for it and like did not know what I was getting myself into, but I think I was able to learn and thus now manage one, expectations, but also two, things that like I'm fully focused on biting back about, like things like when it comes to cover, when it comes to like saying no to specific things, especially as your book gets closer and like everyone is asking for your attention, panels, and like being upfront and okay about asking like, hey, I'm not going to be the only brown person, am I? Like these sort of things that you don't really expect to have to consider whenever you're kind of just in the beginning and excited about putting yourself out there and trying to play nice with publishers, because like, hey, I'm getting money for a thing that I wrote and that's really cool. But also like, you know, if your cover's crap, you got to say something too. So like, you know, managing and just figuring out what exactly was important to me and being able to evaluate those things is something I was able to take into my second book and just like, here's where the line in the sand is. And like, that's not moving.
Yeah, the cover, Johnny, was very, that was an interesting process too. I wasn't sure like how much I could actually say about it when I got the first like drafts up from the artist, who was amazing. But they just weren't right. Like it wasn't what I had in my mind, what the character looked like. Her skin wasn't dark enough. She just didn't look anything like I had described her in the book. And she's totally on the cover. She is the cover. And so they were actually very receptive to my ideas and my feedback, which was great because I've heard other authors' nightmare stories about that not being the case. So
yeah, I remember we had full conversations for my debut novel about that cover. And my book came out in June, my first book. We didn't have a final cover until February. Like I was thinking my book comes out like June 8th and I want to have a cover for it June 9th. Like, and so we went into the second one, like we're going to prioritize getting that cover sketch in quickly. That way, whenever we inevitably have concerns about it, we have plenty of time to talk about it and make sure we get it as close to what we want as possible.
Yeah.
I think in picture book world, it's completely different. It's funny, since I'm the author and illustrator, I worked on the cover. It's funny, for one, the first book, I had the cover, I think it was like the absolute last thing that was done. But for book two, it was the first thing that was done. And for book three, it's like in the middle. But it's so funny, I'm like, and I'm responsible for both. So, but even I push back sometimes because there are choices of text or whatever. It's a balance.
I love hearing the confidence that you gain as you move into the next stage. This is Jackie, by the way. My question is kind of based off of what Adriana started with when she touched on the difficulties and how hard it is to leave that first novel and focus on the second one. And I was just curious if any of you have any advice on like making that switch and being able to make that focus when you have to, or if you have to constantly remind yourself, or just any tips along those lines.
I myself did have a lot of trouble sort of like leaving behind my debut novel characters. Like I remember trying so hard to figure out I can do a sequel and like it'll be great. But I think maybe especially from like a YA, even like MG perspective, what I had to consider was the fact that like I feel whenever I write characters, even side characters, that like all of them are main characters. It's just in this moment, in this book, this character is the main character. And I realized after the last page ended of 1500 Miles from the Sun, Jules was not the main character of the story anymore. And that's fine, that's okay. Like we all have our side moment eras and like that's just as fulfilling. And this is where he is now. And like, I can't make a book happen that doesn't want to happen. And so like fully just having a come to Jesus moment about that was really helpful. Having my agent be like, I think you're trying to find plot and you're just not finding plot. And I'm like, yeah, I'm absolutely not finding a storyline here. And I think just realizing that like you are a business now, you are a full one person business. And if you want to keep on being a business, you have to look forward and not back.
Yeah. And I love, Johnny, that your agent was comfortable telling you things like that, because mine is as well. She's very editorial and I really lean on her a lot sometimes when I'm stuck. Yeah, like I had said earlier, I was given the green light to write book two the month before I launched book one. And I was given a 4-month deadline to get it turned in. So I wrote the book in 4 months. And while I was like doing all this debut stuff and I was on panels.
Wait. Yeah. Did you just say 4 months?
Yeah, which I'm doing again right now for a different book too, because let me tell you.
Oh. Tell us the chisme.
I know. I'm just like shocked by this. Like, okay, picture books, 500 words. We're talking, you write YA. How many words is that, please?
It was over 100K words. Yeah. And I am not necessarily a fast writer. And this is proof that, like, you know, when you become when you're a debut, you just, I don't know. For me, I had this idea that it was going to be like A, B, C, D, E, this is all going to happen, you know, and without any bumps in the road, because I, you know, I have my agent, my publisher, and it's not like that at all. Because I tell you what, my editor resigned right after I turned in that book on the 4 month deadline. She had a baby and wanted to spend more time with her family. Totally get it. Totally understand. But then there's my book out in the ether somewhere that I had like killed myself writing during my debut launch with all these panels that I was doing that I felt like I had to do and all the social media posts that you feel like you have to do. And, you know, all that stuff that goes along with the debut, like first 6 months. And then, I was assigned a different editor who then read it and didn't think it was my book too.
Oh my gosh, Vanessa. Oh,
I know.
Crazy.
Yeah. So then I had to turn in another synopsis for a different book.
Oh, so this is all with the same publisher.
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is making more sense now. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay.
Yeah. But wait, is it a whole different book or just major revisions? Yeah.
No. So like, I turned in that original book, that book too. Editor left, they assigned me a new editor. She read it, said, I don't think this is your book too, but here are all the changes that would be cool if you want to keep this as your book too. So I start making those changes and I just ran out of gas. I was like, this isn't the book that I want to write anymore. And that was scary to say, but I'm here to tell you, you can say that. Like, you have to write, you know, some people say when you're on like a really serious deadline, just screw the book of your heart. You just need to get it out there. But that's, I don't think that's totally true. You have to love what you're writing. You have to connect with it. And so I went back to my editor and said, I'm so sorry, but this is not the book that I want to write. And she was totally supportive and said, okay, what do you want to write then? And I gave her like 4 different ideas, wrote another synopsis. That wasn't the book that they wanted. So then I wrote another synopsis and it was based on a book that I had written, the first book I ever wrote years and years and years ago. And she was like, I love it. Love it. Write this book. So I have 4 months to write that book. So I'm writing it right now. Like, I'm literally writing it right now when I'm talking to you. I'm not kidding. I have to have it in by the end of August.
This is super wild.
Yeah. I'm stressed out just talking about it.
I believe it. I have a little bit similar, but not quite. Like, my second book, I had pitched it as part of a series, about seed dispersal, but they only bought the number one. But I have book, you know, 3, 4, 5, like all the versions of seed dispersal in rhyming couplets with ideas of, you know, like what seed is going to be focused. But I have heard nothing. Like, I turned in all the stuff and obviously like they're publishing the one that they like, Tumble. But instead they've asked me to write something completely different. Mm-hmm. So Vanessa's story is also true, even in picture books as well. It's so encouraging to feel like, oh, great, they want my book. They want my work. But it's also like kind of a brain game, right? Like, I'm not used to writing on command. Like, and I know it's funny. I talked to like Margarita Engel and I forgot who else was like, how do you do it? Like, how do you write poetry on command? Like, if you've been requested to write something on spec, like how do you get yourself in that mindset? You know, I still don't know the answer.
I use music. I use a lot of music. I just taught a bunch of workshops for middle schoolers and high school writers about how to use music as your muse when you're writing. It was so much fun. But I do use music a lot when I'm writing. So like for debuts, if you're stuck on book two, because it really can be a roadblock. All of a sudden it's a business and you're writing for someone else, kind of. I use whatever inspires me. And for me, it's music.
But I very much get that. Like, there's some people who have that like folder on their computer with like hundreds of ideas and like 20 mm-hmm. outlines ready to go. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing after this next one. I have fully have no idea. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I went like completely, I did an about face because I'm thinking about my option two and I don't want them to pass on it, which, you know, statistically, you know, they probably will. I don't know, because I have so many author friends who've been passed by for their options. But I wrote a picture book and my agent loves it. And we're going out on sub soon and my sister's illustrating it. So I'm hoping that it, I'm hoping it goes somewhere. We'll see. But I needed to do something that took me out of that YA headspace for a little bit. And I really had fun doing it. So we'll see.
So I'm wondering about, this is Aisha. Because I feel a little bit guilty having had my debut come out in January. I have not done 6 months of intense marketing and I don't have a publicist, and I kind of thought that wasn't my job. But maybe it is my job. But I'm wondering from you guys, what did you learn from whatever you tried to do in terms of marketing with your first book? Like, what do you think was a waste of time? What do you think was good idea that you will carry on with your sophomore that you have carried on? Any advice?
I would love to answer this for picture books, right? So this is Adriana. I think, so for my debut, I joined a bunch of launch groups, like debut groups. And some of us have stuck around because we also had other books coming out. And I still appreciate them for camaraderie, if not for anything else. Did it work? Does it work? I have no idea. I do not have concrete numbers, but I can say that just not being alone felt a lot better. So even Las Musas is great because of that, right? Like, we have our camaraderie and we can ask each other questions. So that I've kept. What I did not keep was the party. Like, for my first book, I made two kinds of flan. I went to the local bookstore. I had a reading there and all this stuff. Well, it turns out that the local bookstore no longer does launches, because mine was one of the only launches that was successfully attended by other people. That was it. So with my small town, they're like, yep, no more. And that's it. They've cut them off. So I don't even have that. But what I found successful in general was school visits. I felt like school visits were so energizing for me. And that is where I felt like I had the most, I don't know, like, I gave as much as I got back as well. Like, I love reading my books to kids and had a really great time doing crafts and like just talking to kids, like whether it be reading to the little ones or having conversations about writing and creativity with the older ones. I felt like school visits, it's where it's at for me. And I'm definitely keeping that. And I'm so looking forward to the future with the other two books and bringing them to schools. That's my favorite part. I do not enjoy, like, literally, like, the social media scheduling the posts and like doing the sending the emails. And I love still my publicist for the first book. Sadly, I don't have a publicist for the second book. And I'm super excited to work with the publicist for the third book, because I have three different books with three different imprints. So I've had three different experiences. But yeah, my least favorite for sure is like the social media caca. And my favorite is the school visits.
Yeah, the social media caca. I don't have a lot of following in social media. I mean, it's not sorry, but it's not spectacular. But I mean, nothing that I post is really going to move the needle. And I learned very fast to not care about numbers in any way. I mean, I can't, because it's for my own mental health. And so I just focused on things that made me feel good. I mean, it's your time to be selfish. It's such a solitary job. You know, you're by yourself so much. And for me, like, doing panels with other authors, whether it's virtually or in person, I did ALA in person and NCTE in person. And then a few others around Seattle because I'm in that area. And I just did a big workshop for the Cavalcade of Authors, which was for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And it really does give me energy. And I love being around the other authors and meeting other people who do the same thing that I do in person. And it makes me feel like I'm actually making some sort of a difference. And I don't really, I've been hearing from other authors who are getting new contracts coming through that there are clauses in contracts now that, that publishers are asking you to post a certain amount for the first month before launch. And then for several months after launch, it's actually in the contract with the publisher. Yes. And
I have a question about the NCT.
Agents are fighting back on that because
yeah, for sure.
You know, for some people who, if you have an agent that, you know, is, you know, has your peace of mind at heart, they should fight back for that because that's ridiculous. That should not be in a contract as far as I'm concerned, but yeah.
Did your publisher like send, sorry, Adriana, again, I'm always like misses questions. Did your publisher pay for you to go to NCTE and all those? Because I've been like, hey y'all, I'm ready. I'm willing, except I don't have the cash to fly anywhere.
Yeah. So here's what I had to do. For ALA, which is huge, and I'm so glad I went, but I had the means to pay my own way. Some debuts and I, you know, proposed a panel that got accepted. We did that all on our own. And then most of us paid our own way there. Once I did that and they realized that, you know, oh, I like doing panels. And then I had to actually email them with a list of panels that I was interested in. And you have to do it really early because they, you know, they set those up very early. Then they paid my way. And that's just like so cool. It makes you feel real. Like they have a person there from the publisher that's following you around and getting you water and getting you to
your... How would we know that? Like, this is so important, y'all. If you are out there listening right now, take notes because I didn't know that. I was like, maybe they'll ask me, maybe they'll let me know that they're going to send me to, you know, Texas. Yeah. My book is about tumbleweed.
You gotta get your shit together early. Oh, sorry. I swore, but you
are know, we allowed to swear?
I don't know. I just did.
I say caca because I was like, whatever.
Yeah. And that's one thing that my agent told me to do. She's like, you need to get a list of everything that you want to attend and everything that you want to do and send it to your publisher and CC me and CC your editor. And then every time you do something, like every time I do a panel or a podcast like this, I'm going to send a link to my publicist, my editor, my agent, and just so that they know I'm not just sitting on my ass and doing nothing. I'm actually really trying to get out there. And then they can see what I do and think about me maybe when they have something come up. Plus, they also share it. I know my publicist does internally. She'll share this podcast and my agent will as well. So, yeah.
Well, that's good advice. I have literally never told my agent or my editor, or I don't think anybody that I've done a podcast or anything. Like, it didn't cross my mind to tell them.
Yeah, they should know everything that you're doing because then they know what you're capable of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. On my website, whenever my first book was coming out, I was posting every single virtual event that I was on my website. So there was a whole page of like media. And that way, like my publicist could see, like, or my publisher could see, like, hey, like, look at me, like, I'm trying. I like talking sometimes, like, put me in things. But I also, like, I think that's also very good advice of just like getting ahead of the game on even festivals and conventions and like getting that expectation. Whenever my debut book came out, I was invited to Y'all Fest. Like, and I was like, I have to go. Like, it's a big YA festival. Like, I can't say no to it. They weren't going to pay for me to go. So I fully had to pay to get to Charleston for house, for a place to stay, all of that. My current publishers kind of, when I got my Book Developer honor, all of a sudden I had money for a flight and a hotel. But my current publisher is very much like, well, like, if you've been invited to Y'all West, like, here's your hotel information, here's your flight info, like, great, love that for you. I think one thing that I kind of like feel different about from my debut experience was I really loved the self promo and the self marketing of social media for my debut book. I was really like into Twitter whenever that was more of like a thing that people were on. And like talking about my book on there and like sharing videos and like, here, this is what my book's about, but like in video form and stuff like that. Now, like social media is so tiring to me. I am like trying to get back into Instagram, but even that's like, no, I'm just gonna do very minimal. So yeah, I feel myself just kind of like, it's, you know, I'll do it when I do it, if I want to do it. One thing that I did do this time because I got to, was actually like go on a book tour. And I think that that was just really fun for me personally. Of course, that's separate from like any sort of festivals and conventions. So like my publisher did not pay for me to go on a book tour this time. So like, I think just thinking about the cost effectiveness of it is something that like all authors should think about, because it was not cheap. And I was fully tired and like spent like 3 days just not talking to anyone after all of it, as fun as it was and as much as I loved doing it. And I think it also just gave me a perspective of like, okay, here's the bookstores that like really went solidly well that I would love to return to. And here's some like the bookstores that I do love, but like just did not have the audience, and maybe rethink a different location next time. And that's super okay. So like even still, it's like a learning experience. And I think it's the thing about it is that we're all constantly learning. But yeah, I think that going forward, I would still love to do in-person tours. And that was a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I also think that another thing to think about as a debut are the taxes that you're going to have to do and all of that after. And I have a separate credit card, like a separate Alaska Airlines credit card. That's a business card. And all of my stuff for author stuff goes on that card. And it makes it so much easier when it comes to keeping track of all of that, when you're going to, you know, write off stuff and everything. Like, and speaking of traveling, if you're going to pay for your own traveling and all that, it's so much easier if it's all on one card, not here and there and cash and here and whatever. And then you can earn miles too if you get like an airline credit card as well. So
yeah, getting better at like knowing how to do taxes and like write-offs and stuff like that was very valuable. The first time I had no idea what I was doing, but that second year I was like, here's the whole list, here's every single book at Barnes and Noble I bought, that counts as
it does,
that counts as, you know.
Yep. Any book you buy, really, because it's considered research. Yeah. But yeah, and also like just also making sure that another thing to keep track of is and send your publicist is like awards. Don't assume that your publicist and your publisher is going to, you know, put you, you know, in for all of the awards, and they might not even know all of them. So make your list early on and all the deadlines. List all the deadlines for them, like make it impossible for them to, you know, to miss it. So just things like that.
Especially when it comes to marginalized / like additionally forgotten about people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I found was that one publisher would not pay for something, like they would not pay for the entry fee to submit the book. I know. I have between a very small independent publisher for one of my books. The other two are a little bit larger. So I had to understand that, like, okay, literally their entire marketing and publicity, it's one person. So like, okay, I get it. All right, that's fine. The second and third, I have the spreadsheet with my dream awards and like all the things that I wanted. And I shared my spreadsheet with exactly what Vanessa was saying, with my list of dream awards, please submit to this and this. Here's my, I have like a one pager of my with my book information that I send. What was the other thing I was going to say about awards? Not just awards. Oh yeah. When you're doing your own book tour, I had a question about that. Did your publisher help you with locations that they are connected with, schools and bookstores, or was it all you, John?
I knew the bookstores I wanted to hit up. Whenever I was named the Barnes and Noble YA book pick, they kind of helped navigate which Barnes and Noble I could go to, because like, I don't know, I can only go to like one specific one within a certain area. So that they kind of like took the in charge with. But I told them which like independent bookstores I wanted to go to. They were very upfront about like, okay, well, you reach out to them, but the moment they reach back, like CC us, that way like we can make sure that they have all the info available and they okay. can get the books on time. But yeah, I did research on like which stores I wanted to go to.
That's similar. Okay. Then that's similar to what I did too with my first book. And I'm doing it now currently with my second book, is that I have my favorites. For me, my book tour, quote unquote, is me going to my family in different parts of the country and be like, hey guys, what bookstore do you want me to do? What bookstore is near you? Because I'm going to be staying on your couch. And I got my book and I got my like craft materials that I'm bringing with me. So, I mean, I don't know, book tour makes it sound so lofty and like you're getting like business class. But for those of you who are like me, who are like really just you're flying at the seat of your pants, like you're a freelancer and maybe you've been like me, like an artist for a long time. So like you have no savings. It's not quite like glamorous at all.
Okay, but still, like you guys, at least I don't know about you, Jackie and Elle, but they know so much more than me, because number one, I never even thought about awards. I did not know that people had a spreadsheet of awards. No idea. Secondly, I never thought about doing my own book tour, like figuring out my own net. Didn't cross my mind. I asked Barnes & Noble near me, will they carry my book? And they never answered me.
Oh my God, Kendall, forget them, girl.
Yeah, Kendall,
forget
Barnes & Noble.
They're a mess.
But I do want to ask you guys something, because I don't know if it's just me, but like I did a book festival. Some of you were at BAM, I think. Adriana, were you at BAM?
No, like, I couldn't go to BAM because I was at the Orlando Book Fest.
Okay, like, but I've done a couple of events like that, that I've been like, somebody dropped out and they put me in. That's really what happened.
For it's, sure.
You know, and then they forget to order my book. Like I've been at more than one event where everybody has their book except me. And I'm like, wait a minute, is that the author's job to like remind the people you need to order my book, or to, you're not supposed to show up with your own book. They said they were ordering them.
For festivals, if you were a last minute replacement, usually these orders take at least like a week or two. So if you were like last minute,
I was like a month before. But
that's still like a little iffy.
But like, do you guys, when you have a whatever event, do you like call ahead and make sure they have your book and all of that? Do you guys do that?
I'll usually
that's part of like why I CC my publicist or like whatever team I have. Because like they can fully make sure that like books get to that bookstore or that festival. Usually like a bookstore is a provider for a book festival, so like they can reach out to that specific bookstore and make sure they have the books. So like CC your team on like everything when it comes to like book festivals and stuff like that. Not just so like the book festival gets your name right, but also because they got to get the books on time and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I CC my publicist on everything like that, because then, and I'll also just sometimes email the organization wherever I'm doing something and just say, just to be clear, you're going to have my book. And it took me a while also for the bigger events to figure out who everybody was. So I realized I have a notebook with everybody's names and what they do, because I was like, I don't even know who I'm supposed to be including on this thread. Like they have like Penguin Random House has like a library, you know, person that just does library stuff, and a person that just does education panels, and a person that, you know, and so it wasn't the same people that I was supposed to be emailing. And then I would get like emails back, oh, this person should be on this thread too, or this person shouldn't. And it was very confusing. So I had to keep track of who all those people were, because I'm not good with names.
If you end up on a, like for me in earlier this year, I ended up going to DC and it was amazing. But the way I afforded it was that I contacted two different organizations and one helped pay for one part and the other helped pay for the other part. And so I was able to successfully cover that trip, which was like, for me, this is again, beg, borrow, steal, the mentality of theater that I come from is like super scrappy. So I was like ready to be like, anybody else want to pitch in? My point in bringing this up was I had this issue because since I was working with multiple organizations, I had to keep track of who was covering what, and my specific receipts would go to one organization that covered only parts. They would only cover, one would only cover travel, and the other one would only cover a stipend, and that was it, like a flat stipend. So again, if y'all have some kind of way to organize the receipts, I use that free app, Wave Apps. That's what I use for bookkeeping, not accounting, it's bookkeeping really. And we have an accountant because we're both freelancers and it's too much to do our own accounting. So you will come to a point where it's really beyond you when you have to start filing a Schedule C or itemizing stuff. Don't beat yourself up if you can't do it yourself anymore. And actually it seems to be like, you know, it's a good thing that you've come to that point. Like you've reached a threshold where hopefully you're making enough income that hiring an accountant actually makes it worth it. So
I think to Aisha's point, try your best at any point to like make it someone else's problem and not yours. Fully like handing that invitation to a publicist might have gotten this timeline doesn't seem sufficient for getting your books there. And that could give you time to reevaluate, is it necessary that my books are there if I'm present at a book festival?
So Donnie, she doesn't have a publicist. So I'm sending this to my editor.
Even editor.
Your editor,
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone that you can CC tied to you and the publishing process part of it, like let them figure out the technicalities because I mean, they're the ones that know, they know the warehouse and where the books are.
Yeah.
It didn't even occur to me that was my job. You know what I mean? Like I didn't realize that I should remind or inform. I didn't think of it as that's my job. My job, I thought, was just show up and do, you know, whatever they asked me to do, the panels. But yeah, now I know.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. I didn't have a book tour for my debut, but I sort of made my own book tour. And what I did was a couple months in advance, and maybe a month in advance again, just to remind, I called like just a ton of indie bookstores in Seattle and said, my book's coming out on 2/22/22. This is who I am. And, you know, leading off with that you are a traditionally published author is good. It sucks that it is necessary, but it is, because I had a lot of people, if I didn't lead with that, they were like, oh no, you know, we don't, you know, cause they think I was talking to a couple of bookstore owners and they're like, you would not believe how many people call up in a day and say that they wrote a book and they want us to carry the book. And it's just, you know, it's not the caliber that they want in their bookstore, whatever. So I led with that. Yeah. I'm coming out with Penguin Random House Novel on this day. And I would love to come by and sign books on my debut day. Like I'm driving around Seattle, and every single one of them, they were all so cool and so excited for me. And it also prompts them to order your book when it might not be on their radar. So I did that with about 6 or 7 indies in Seattle, and then took the day before my launch event in the evening and just drove around with a couple of author friends and signed books. And so many of them had it sitting right on the front, like right at the desk on a little, you know, stand, and with a little local author sign. And when I came in, I was like, that's my book. And it was just really exciting. And I signed them. And then it was just really fun. And it didn't cost anything but gas. You know, they bought all the books and a little bit of my time getting on the phone and a little bit of research. So highly recommend it.
Very helpful. I think I have this huge fear personally as someone who lives in New York that I'm going to show up. I'm going to be like, I'm a traditionally published author. And they'll be like, get in line. Just like with everybody else. And there's call a line first. Around the block.
Save yourself the anxiety and call them first. Like I'm telling you, the phone, let the phone do, or the email do the like introduction, because it New York is such a difficult place to like, there's so many bookstores. Just be sure they have it before you go in.
I'm nervous on the phone. I'm nervous in person. So I'm going to have someone else deal with that for me. Really, that's the thing I've learned.
You can be sneaky with your promo too. Like I went to Powell's Books down in Portland, and because I live, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, I love Powell's, must go. And anyway, so I had like one thing that I did spend money on were bookmarks and stickers. And my mom designed the stickers. She's an artist. It's so cool. And so I left them. I leave them everywhere I go, like at indie bookstores or whatever. But then I also found books that were kind of in the same vein of mine and put a bookmark in there. Because if someone's picking up that book, they might be interested in my book. So I went through all these bookstores.
You're so sneaky.
Other books. So yeah, I highly recommend that too, because I mean, if I picked up a book and I was going to get that book, I would definitely keep the bookmark if it sounded like something that I might like as well. It's almost like a blurb for free, but not really, because you're paying for the bookmarks, but you know, it's like really nice.
Yeah. All right. So this is all very helpful, especially all the stuff about taxes. I'm worried that the IRS is going to come knocking on my door any minute now.
You don't make enough, honey. You don't make
enough. Oh, I'm well aware, but I'm still convinced that I'm the one person that they're like, this one. I want to dial it back a little bit to what was it like for y'all with the drafting process for book two, or in some cases for book three? Like, how has that actual creation process evolved for you?
Hey, Vanessa, you talked about that, right?
I like to remember Ander and Santi were here as the last time I've been able to just vibe with a first draft. I spent 6 months drafting that book. And it was also one of my two books that I drafted during the pandemic. And like a lot of that, I mean, I think a lot of the time spent was because like I was working two jobs at the beginning of the year, but then also like went from that to working no jobs, and like where I am mentally and emotionally while the world shut down and I'm stuck in my apartment. But also like lending myself to just diving in and spending time with those characters was super therapeutic in a time where I think like I really needed that. And so, yeah, I started in January, finished it sometime in June, sent it to my agent like in September. And that was really nice because I got to like perfect it and get it as good as I could get before they were seeing it and before we were talking about sending it to a publisher. And now it's so different. I'm fully in like proposal modes with all of my books now, being put on deadlines for finishing first drafts, which I don't like, but that's just kind of the life we're in now. I do so far one book deals, and so I think that kind of helped me not have to worry about doing a second book very quickly. It's just no one was expecting it until it was done. I miss it. I definitely do miss just being able to vibe. But also like I think just, you know, in this economy, we've got to kind of turn ourselves into, especially if you're gonna be a one YA book a year sort of person, sending as little as possible to people who might give you money for it, and then just working on it as fast as possible in the interim. And that's just kind of where I think most traditionally published YA, maybe even MG authors, lead ourselves if we're trying to make it.
Oh my gosh, I wish it were like that for picture book authors, illustrators. Author illustrators, we are like, my heart goes out to us. A collective hug. Because imagine for us, we have to send out a dummy, which means like an illustrated, so the text has to be there and the illustrations have to be there. It's so crazy. I'm like, you saw my other books. I promise I can do this. Why won't you give me an advance? No, they want a dummy for everything. So as for me as an individual, I'm looking for both illustration and my own work, right? So like it's been difficult to create art just for art's sake, or create art just for my portfolio, while also working on while I was working on book two and three and marketing one. And now currently one is out, two is coming out, three is coming out, and I have nothing afterward. So I'm pitching, illustrating, writing, like it's like I feel very scattered. And I also miss the concentration level that I had with the first book, for sure. In terms of like, I think y'all have a question about that, about post-launching. I'll let you ask it, but I've got thoughts.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for what it would feel like to have so many people weighing in on what I was writing. Cause like book two was just writing for me. It was the book of my heart. It was what I, you know, wanted to write. And I want to write this book too. I'm so excited about it, but I wasn't prepared for like the Zoom meeting with my editor and her assistant, and they both read the book and they both have, you know, feedback and comments, and having the Zoom meetings with them and, you know, explaining the plot lines, because this is a contemporary fantasy. So there is a lot more going on that has to be explained than contemporary. That was the other thing, is that my contract for book two said it had to be a contemporary YA, not a fantasy. And so when I pitched it to my editor, finally desperately pitched it and said, this is what I really want to write after all these other, you know, attempts. And she loved the concept so much. She was like, yeah, let's do it. And I said, what about the contract with it being contemporary, you know, only? And she said, nope, we can take care of that. It's totally fine. And so I'm getting to write this contemporary fantasy, which is super cool, but it's also really hard, like
listening. World building, completely different.
Yeah. And world building in reality, which is really fun. I love it. But I wasn't prepared for how many opinions there would be. And also it's heavily inspired by Mexican folklore. And so there is, you know, explaining it to, you know, my editor, who is not marginalized from what I understand, it's been a little bit like, some of it is like, do I have to explain that part? Like, is that necessary to explain that part? Just things like that. My editor's great. It's just, it's been a learning curve, I think, for both of us, really. So, yeah.
I had to fight for the word bachata during for my third book, bachata, which is a kind of dance.
Really?
That was like a back and forth conversation, because they wanted to call it la bachata. And I'm like, nobody says it like that. No one says, let me dance la bachata. No one says that. Like, they just don't. Grammatically, it may be correct, but I'm not signing off on that. Like, there will be no la in front of bachata. I'm sorry. We don't say that. So it's so funny, the things that come up. But you know what? In my first book, I would have been like, okay, right? I'm not that girl anymore.
Yeah, there's a fine line to wanting to be, you know, fun and easy to work with and standing up for yourself. You know, like I always have that fear that I don't want to be that difficult author.
The unlikable one. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But then I also want to be authentic to, you know, who I am and my words. So yeah, that is a fine line to balance.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, we have no say whether our book is a success or a failure, but we do have a say if we like it. And so, like, that's something that we've got to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. True that. For you, debut is for real, for real. Like, stay true to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's a constant reminder that it's nice to like get that affirmation from you all. I was curious, because obviously going into this second book, I think Vanessa, you're with the same publisher, but Adriana and Johnny, you moved to new publishers, new editors. And I guess Vanessa, you have a new editor. So just what is that experience like now, working with new people on a new team? And like, if there's anything that stands out to any of you.
I love this is the interesting part. With my second publisher, I have an amazing art director editor team. What happened to me in my first book is my editor left right before the book launched, probably a month or two before launch. So it was very shocking. For this second book and the third, I've had the same team throughout, and it's been awesome. Like, I really missed the editor one. Like, I would love to work with her again, but she's at a completely different house, and, you know, I just have to pitch to her. I would say also, because the content, like, my second book is nonfiction, it's completely different. It just feels completely different. The process felt completely different. Also, their processes, how do you say that? Like, more than one, and you know what I'm saying? The process is different. I love the organization of the second one, and I carried it through to the third one. Like, I love the way my art director literally organized files. Like, I'm talking about the way that he laid out files, like nerd speak. I loved his file organization system. So for me, it comes from a technical level, and I like their communication style a lot. And then for the third book, I carried it through. So I have been really, really happy with the third one. And if I do another book with publishing house number one, I'll bring that level of organization to that one, because I enjoyed it so much. It really helped keep things streamlined. So for me, I'm going to talk tech. Sorry. Yeah. Emotionally, I mean, like, do you want to talk about feelings or no? Like,
always down to hear about feelings.
Oh, Yeah, I gotta think about that.
Yeah, I have some feels because when my book won a month before my debut launched, my editor went on maternity leave. And so it was like done. Like I had no contact with her at all. And I really liked her, but I had no contact with her at all. I don't know. I just thought I would get like an email when the book came out or something, but, and I totally get, you know, how busy you are as a new mom and all of that. I've been there myself. So I had to just kind of just let that go and feel less abandoned, I guess. And, but then this, my new editor is much more hands-on. I mean, she always lets me know if you wanted to send me a couple pages, run something by me, if you have any questions. She's just very hands-on and open. And when I do email her, I get an email like right back from her, which is so wonderful. It makes me feel a little like they're a little bit more invested, I think. And I don't know if that's true or not, but
no, I get what you're saying. Okay. I can feel something. I felt, yeah, by receiving email responses within a week.
Yeah.
From all my editors, that has made me feel secure. Like very, very well, like
they care,
like mm-hmm. they're listening. That is very important. And I've been very lucky to have that with all three. When communication went silent, and it was because my editor had left, but I knew actually my somebody had clued me in. I can't remember who had clued me in that was telling me like, hey, she might move. Mm-hmm. So and then I also kept sorry.
You hear a lot of whispering going on behind
the scenes. Right. Okay. But like not directly communicated. So this might happen to y'all. Debuts, did you all have a change in editor during your process?
I technically did briefly. My editor went on leave for like 3 weeks. So I was bounced to another one and then she came back. But it wasn't like not much was going on.
She came back.
She did. She's back.
But yeah, it's nice to get responses to emails, right? Especially after when you're querying forever. And then you're like, yay, look at me.
My God, yeah.
I moved from like a like smaller mid-sized publisher to like a big five. And like I love being with Wednesday. I think that like, but I also have very little criticism of my first publisher. I really did enjoy working with them. There were just like very obvious limitations working with them. Like, I mean, like I wasn't gonna get my book into a Barnes & Noble with a Skyscape because of just how it is. And like the amount that they could give me for an advance was like very obviously like an amount that my agent was like, no, we're worth more than that. And so like we went somewhere who hit our expectation. But yeah, I think that like thus far, it's been a really great process. The editor who did acquire my Under and Santi were here and also technically bought Canto Contigo is no longer with Wednesday. I have a different editor. So I've had three different editors across two publishing houses. But my current one also is very great. And like it feels like in a lot of ways it kind of almost feels like I'm redoing my debut experience and just like how much attention my sophomore book got compared to like I know a lot of authors who kind of just get a little forgotten by their publisher when their second book comes around. So in that way, I feel very blessed, but also kind of worried about where my third one's going to land. And like, you know, I was given a whole publicist who like made a Google Doc of like every event from the San Antonio Book Festival to like all through my book tour of like, here's where it's going to be, here's what time it's going to be, here's the contact info. And
I love
very
that.
Upfront about like anything that you want to do, like CC me in so we know and we can keep up with it. So yeah, I think that like I'm really happy to be with a house that seems to really care about their authors. But I also like I think it's in my mind, I'm like, I have to keep providing like Under and Tomty level material, otherwise like trash. You know, I think it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know.
Do you think you're harder on yourself? Okay, I was talking about that. Are you harder on yourself than We were at a book conference, Aisha and I, this past weekend, and we got to meet some pretty big names like Liz Garten Scanlon and Matt De La Pena. And I think it was Liz Garten Scanlon who's like, no, it was Marcy Colleen. She's like, well, your C plus is probably somebody else's A plus, you know? So is it you being hard on yourself? And I think a lot of us get into that trap of like our second and third books have to be exactly as good as, if not better than, and they're just different. They're just going to be different.
Yeah, totally different. And I just keep telling myself, okay, well, my second book is not a contemporary, totally different audience.
Yeah,
my first book was a ballet book set in the 80s, which I loved, but you know, it's not going to have the same audience as a contemporary fantasy. So,
I went from fiction to nonfiction. I feel you.
Yeah.
So my publisher was like, let's build your audience. Let's do 5 contemporary novels that kind of have the same big emotional value. And then you can think about what happens after that. So like, yeah.
Dragons.
It's very, so it's really interesting to hear like the way in which like some authors are able to like sort of navigate through different genres, and others are like, no, you're going to be here until we say so. And so, yeah, that's really cool.
That's why I was so excited that they're letting me write this book. I'm like, wow, that's pretty.
But yeah, I put like a little bit of magical realism in my third one. Did not tell my editor I was doing it and was just like, I'm going to do it. If she hates it, she can tell me she hates it. But this.
Did she notice?
Yeah, she noticed. Like, okay. Was fine with it. But it was like, I need to make this book readable and better. And this is the one idea I got left. And thankfully, she went with it.
Cool. I know if you run out of ideas, like I always like, you know, I'm going back to the music thing. Like if you're running out of ideas for book 2 or 3 or whatever after your debut, I listen to music. And one of the exercises I did with the kids the other week was we did like a lyric exercise where I picked songs that have really powerful lyrics. And I had them listen to the song and then I had a worksheet and I wanted them to expand on the story that was being told by the songwriter or do the backstory of what was that character doing before? How did they get to this point where this is their story in the song? And like ideas just come out of nowhere. Like when you do
that from you, I think I need to steal that from you.
Do it. Do it. I highly recommend it. It's so fun. And it's fun too. Even if you don't get a whole story, you might get a character, like a really interesting character or a scene.
That is really interesting. And I think you should all share your spreadsheets, your ideas, your publicist information
with
all
of us. Please drop them in the chat.
I would appreciate that. Yeah. So I think I get to ask the last question, and it's of course the best question because save the best for last, but what has been the most fun thing, the absolute most fun thing that you feel that you've been able to do on your journey as a sophomore author? Share the fun with us.
So I got to meet a lot of Las Musas. I went to Highlights Retreat with Las Musas last year. And that was my one thing for last year. This year, I'm planning on going to we're meeting up in Texas and I'm really excited to meet more Musas. Essentially, I just save up my pennies to places. I have family in Texas. So I just save up money for places where I have people. And so I think my most favorite thing is catching up with people who know me from a very different, they know me as Adriana, like Adrianita, and seeing me as like the author has been really, really rewarding. And in a lot of ways, my family's like, oh, finally, like, finally, you're doing something like that I can talk and brag about or whatever. So that's been lovely. And so for me, it's the travel, which I hadn't done since like 2019.
Yeah, I think meeting other authors, that's been just so much fun because it's like the other day I was at this plant sale at this school and this girl came up to me. Like, I think she was a freshman and she was just like all wide eyed and everything and breathing really fast. And I was like, what's going on? And she goes, I am reading a book that you wrote right now. And she's just staring at me. And she recognized me from my picture in the back of the book. And I was like, really, you're reading The Turning Point? And she goes, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And when's your next book going to come out? And she was like so excited. And I like was just, I was just as excited to have her, you know, react that way. But then I react that way when I meet other authors that I've looked up to forever. I like, I have the stars in my eyes too. And I walk up to them and, you know, I sneak up to them and tell them, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of yours. And I just have to say, I love this book. And just having that come full circle is just the coolest thing ever. Like the coolest thing ever. And I'm a firefighter paramedic in my other life. And just having all the guys at the station like watch me go through this journey. They've been watching. I mean, I write when I'm not running calls and stuff like that. And they know that I've been trying so hard, and to actually have a physical book in my hand that they can see and have them support me. And that was also really cool because they're like my brothers and sisters, an extended family of mine. So yeah, I would say those two things.
I mean, like community and like other authors, absolutely. That just like revitalizes you, I think. And like meeting readers for sure is like the most, I think, like revitalizing thing, and just like really like pushes you to just keep going. I think especially as just like a queer author living in Texas right now, like meeting readers who like need these books is just like so invigorating when I'm just like, this is getting to be a lot sometimes. But I think like my favorite, especially when it comes to just like my this whole year, I was able to, whenever I was on deadline for my to get in a draft of Canto Contigo, I spent like the last part of that, like those few weeks leading up to the deadline, in like a small writing retreat with my two writer besties, Sonora Reyes and Emery Lee, at Joshua Tree. And like just being like out in the desert, like with very little Wi-Fi, with two people who like can fully draft expeditiously, was just really like the thing that I needed to like get that draft done. And just really being in an environment, I think, was just like so good for my soul to just be happy, like out there in the desert with like mountains and everything. And yeah, that was, I think, one of my favorite experiences so far.
Well, thank you all. You've given us so much to look forward to and answered a lot of questions I'm sure we had. And now we can breathe a sigh of relief that we have some clarity on this very unclear path forward. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you enlightening us, and we wish you all the best with your book twos. If you'd like to learn more about Les Musas or our books, please visit our website at lesmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Les Musas Books, and be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for the Les Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musas news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you so much for listening.